This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Alan Pogenpohl, your country financial agent in Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing of Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Cobwebs and Clutter in historic downtown Hillsboro. And by BR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro. From the Cranny Mac Hunting Reserve, here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Thank you very much, Tobinato, as we broadcast live from Cranny Mac. It is the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt, and we are just tickled as all get out to be out here broadcasting again, as we have done the last few years, and our good friend Don Burton has joined us. And Don, first off, thanks for allowing us to come in and be part of this. It's an awful lot of fun, and we enjoy seeing our good friends from time to time. And of course, this goes for a good cause. And for somebody that's tuning in this morning, let's get right off the bat, let's get the story of how this came about and tell people why such a crowd turns out every year.
Well, thank you, Terry. It's been a great weekend. We had a great day yesterday, and we're going to have a full day today, too. And we'll talk about Sunday coming up here in a few minutes. But anyway, back in June of 2003, Donnie, my son, at 16 years of age, passed away. It was tough. It was a long haul. Anybody that's lost a child knows it's kind of out of the natural order of things. You're supposed to bury your parents and your grandparents. You're not supposed to bury your kids. And, you know, we floated through that first 6 months. And I actually happened to be hunting out here on December 19th. I specifically remember the date that Don Cranfield mentioned to me something about doing something like this. And I thought about it for a day or two, and I called him and I said, you know, hey, this might work. Let's try this. So the first year, actually it was January of 2004, we had, I believe, somewhere between 22 and 25 hunters. We threw it together in basically less than 2 weeks. And before the bad weather was set in this weekend, we had over 200 hunters scheduled. So it's been phenomenal. Every year we have a better turnout, more people hunt, more people donate. And it's really turned into an event. And actually, starting in about mid-September, it's a part-time job. 65 volunteers for 3 days, but we have a great time. So, yeah, it's turned into something spectacular.
And, of course, the money raised is used in a very desirable manner.
Yeah, all proceeds have always went to the Hillsboro Education Foundation. Scholarships in Donnie's name, either I or if I'm not around or I'm not in town, Dennis McCamick, Bill Kleinert's helped on one occasion in giving the scholarships at the Honors Night in May at Hillsboro High School. We've given 60-plus scholarships over the last 10 years. The amounts of money, I don't really know that. I know we're well over $50,000, but that's not really the big thing. The big thing is keeping Donnie's name alive a little bit, doing something good with it, and give the money away. $500 or $1,000 really helps a kid in school today.
Oh, yeah.
Tuition, like everything else, nothing has went down in price. It just keeps going up. So it helps Sally and I deal with things a little bit, too.
And it's kind of unique, Don, for the scholarships from this foundation. I don't know what the requirements are, I do know you do have a requirement that they need to keep in touch with you.
They do. And ironically, the very first person that ever got a Donnie Burton scholarship, his mother is here today helping.
Really?
Sandy Martinsic. Nathan was the first one, got the first $1,000 scholarship 10 years ago. And we keep in touch. They've got twins coming, I understand. I don't know that I'm supposed to say that on the radio. This morning. Oops. Sorry about that, Nathan. And the kid, we've got several scholarship recipients hunting mm-hmm. this weekend. Several are out to help, volunteer. So it's just really, it's a lot of fun. And if you've never been out here and experienced the clubhouse atmosphere, it's
that's a nice way to put it.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to be as positive as I can here.
That's a polite description of it.
We have a blast for 3 days, and I'll go ahead, if it's okay, and make the announcement. With the bad storm coming in, my wife and I sit down and talk last night. I talked with Dennis on the phone, and we have officially canceled the hunt for tomorrow. We simply don't want people on the road tomorrow with what I hear is coming in with the cold temperatures, the 4 to 12 inches of snow, depending upon where you're at, the high winds, the freezing temperatures. We just don't want to do it. And Dennis McCamick has been so kind. Anybody that was supposed to hunt tomorrow can set up a hunt between now and the end of April and treat it just as you would as if you were hunting tomorrow. So Dennis has been great to work with. We're good to go.
Ralph, one of the great things about our area and about folks in general in Illinois is the fact that if they see a worthwhile cause, they usually rise to the occasion.
They have the true definition of generosity, Terry, and regardless of what it is, having served on the Montgomery County Cancer Board for several years, it just never ceases to amaze me, people. Give, just give, 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 and the same thing here with this great cause. And weatherman, as Don said, going to throw him a little curve for tomorrow, but that'll be all right. It'll all work out.
And I guess you guys were due because you went through 10 years of not having any interruptions. So.
It's really difficult to be too upset about this. We've had 10 years of not having a problem with weather. We had a little snow one year it got a little cold, but no, not at all. Dennis has been so kind to extend the invitation out through the end of April for anyone that wants to hunt in Donnie's name. We get the money for the scholarship. No complaints.
We're broadcasting from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt at Cranny Mac near Hillsboro, and Don Burton is joining us. And Don, just what does this mean to you to be able to get together once a year with folks from really around the entire Midwest, not just the mid-Illinois area, but the entire Midwest?
Yeah, we've expanded. We've got people coming in from out of state on a regular basis now. For me personally, and I can speak for Sally, I think, too, it's a tremendous reminder of what we lost on one hand, but on the other hand, there are a lot of people that attend this event that actually knew Donnie. Most of the kids that we give scholarships to now, after 10 years, don't have a clue who he was, and I don't expect them to, but it's a personal thing for me. His name's up in front, and everybody's talking about him, telling stories, it's just a tremendous uplifting personal thing for Sally and I, and for his sisters and for the family in general. Really is.
Don, I know I've heard you say in the past that you love it when the kids who receive the scholarships each year, when they keep in contact.
Yeah, they do. And you know, I've told this story several times. I'm not going to mention any names, but we get a lot of emails. We get a lot once a year. Usually it's around Christmas. Postcards, letters, cards, Christmas cards. Sometimes we get more information than we really prefer to have.
But that's, you know, the nature of the society.
Oh, hey, that's great. And it's all held in confidence. Yeah. But, oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, I don't need to hear that stuff. And it's a personal contact that we have with the kids that makes it so nice for us. And, you know, I tell you, today, you know, I made a living in education, and people want to harp all the time about kids today and how honorary they are and how they're doing this and they're doing that. I got to tell you something. And then I'm probably going to get emotional, so I'm going to stop for a second. Somebody else can talk. I can show you 30 to 50 kids, and I say kids, somewhere between 18 and 30, because to me now, those are kids. And I think Uncle Ralph here would agree with me. They're involved in this hunt. I've got about 10 or 12 of them working this hunt that there isn't anything that I wouldn't do for. They're just that great of young people. And I disagree when I hear people be so pessimistic about our young people today. I think they're great. And, well, you know.
I have a feeling Uncle Ralph was a little ornery back in his day. Probably invented ornery.
Now, I'm gonna take up for Uncle Ralph here. I think he probably, in his younger days, was probably known in the Hillsboro area as a gentleman and a scholar.
Right. They must have had different meanings back then.
I tell you what, Tim, when the show's over, you come up and I'll let you feel on my back where the angel's wings started to grow. But they never materialized.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Don't ask me why, but, you know.
Good answer.
But you're right, Don. We do have a lot of great kids out there today, and the good kids get a bad rap from the bad kids, and that's unfortunate, but that's the way it's always been. It was that way when I was a youngster, and it'll always be that way.
When you get phone calls a couple weeks ago, and I was getting the volunteers ready to go and stuff, and you call these young people, many of them were in Donnie's class or around his age that knew him, who could come out and volunteer every year. They make comments to me like, well, you know, I don't really care about the weather. Do you want me there?
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of got to suck it up for a second and think, you know, geez, Louise. I mean, you know, they're given 3 days up nonstop from dusk or from dawn till dusk and not complain and just tell me basically, I don't care what the weather's doing, Don. If you want me there, we'll be there.
And
go ahead.
And when you talk about weather, we're talking about the first week of January.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've had this 10 years and you've been successful without problems from the weather. So you're probably, in all reality, you're probably due to have a little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, I'm not complaining at all.
January is a month from day to day. You just never know.
We'll have a good day today and, you know, in a day and a half, basically, and yet Friday's really a half day of hunting. We're going to have over 100 hunters. I mean, you know, I can't complain. Whoever comes up in the next 3 months and hunts, that's great. But even just a day and a half of hunting that we've had this weekend, we'll give numerous scholarships. It's not going to stop us. And to be honest with you, if we're a little behind or we need a little money, Sally and I'll take care of that. So this is something that's just been born into me that I want to do for the school district and for kids. So we're going to do it.
Don, you've talked about the amazing growth of this event over the years. What do you think, what are a couple of the biggest reasons to explain the, I mean, this isn't just a little growth. I mean, this is a massive amount of growth in a short amount of time.
It really is amazing. I'll tell you, Chuck Martin's here this weekend as an old high school classmate. Before Quail Unlimited folded, they had a national magazine. 4 consecutive years, we had 2-page spreads in that, and that really helped, especially in the peripheral areas outside of Central Illinois. We get a lot of people from 3-4 hours away that drive down, and I know the Litchfield Hotel people really like us because we fill a couple of them this weekend. The restaurants, gas, it's just good for everybody over there, and Hillsboro too, I'm sure. It just works, and we've had Whitey Herzog up a couple times. We've had, of course, Matt Hughes. Matt was scheduled to hunt tomorrow. I've already talked to his group this morning to cancel. But, you know, and it's fun. I mean, you know, for me now, after doing this for 11 years, I don't actually have to come out here and hunt. I mean, I don't really need to do that. I mean, I do, but try to get one hunt in at the end of each day. But even if I didn't, that's really not a problem for me. First of all, we're close enough to where I can hunt here anyway with Dennis. But secondly, I really do enjoy the camaraderie, and I know we joke and laugh, and there is maybe a tad bit of lying that goes on in here about hunting stories.
Now, that's hard.
I'm trying to be optimistic here. Brother is coming here very shortly and is going to, I think, take the next segment. And so when you talk about the lying that goes on, about 95% of it's coming from him. But... he'll tell you that his, you know, the adage that he uses when he talks to people is that, you know, I never let a few facts get in the way of a good story.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and it's pretty much true. And no, I don't feel bad about saying this about my brother. I love him. He knows that. He's probably standing behind me. But he'll be on here in a minute, and everyone will understand why I'm trying to fend for myself.
Yes.
Before I give these headphones to him, because I know what's going
to
happen.
Don, before we need to get to a break here real quick, but before we do, just one comment. Wasn't Don Cranfield a genius?
I'll tell you what, I told his wife yesterday when we showed up over here, Joyce is here this weekend, this has been a dream come true for Sally and I. In wake of having to deal with what we did, this has truly been almost a saving thing for us. It's been great. So, yeah, I owe a lot to Don and his family.
We are broadcasting from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt at Cranny Mac near Hillsboro. If you are interested in donating, just you don't have to do hunting. You can just donate to the Donnie Burton Memorial Scholarship Fund.
Yep.
Contact Mr. Burton,
yep.
And you have a phone number
just
that we can
just give me a call.
There?
It's not a problem. Every penny goes to the kids. If you don't hunt, so it works out really good. My number is 217-556-6460.
Or you can call me at the station. I've got your number, and I can relay
you
the
got
message.
It. So. Thank you guys so much.
Don, a pleasure. We'll let you mingle around. Send your brother over here.
It's about to get deep.
It's going to get deep. We've got to put our rubber boots on because it's starting to get deep. Sports Saturday from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt continues right after these messages.
What's new in Hillsboro? Cobwebs and Clutter Resale, located in historic downtown Hillsboro. Stop by and see what everyone's talking about. Buy, sell, trade, and they pay cash on the spot. Quality used furniture, vintage Lionel train sets, John Deere items, clothing, and collectibles. Cobwebs and Clutter has something for everyone. Gift certificates and layaway are available. Open Monday through Saturday from 8 to 6. Cobwebs and Clutter. Enjoy the difference in downtown Hillsboro.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, and online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:22, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. A winter storm warning is in effect from midnight tonight to 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. We'll have cloudy skies with a chance of some snow. Expect a high today in the upper 30s. Occasional snow possibly mixed with sleet tonight. We'll have lows of in the teens. This is where it gets interesting. For tomorrow, cloudy and windy, up to 10 inches of snow possible. Expect highs in the upper teens. Extend a look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Chance of flurries Monday. It will be colder. It will have highs 10 above. The lows will be 10 below. At 9:23, we have a temperature reading of 29 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
GameZone Plus has it all, whether you want to buy, sell, trade, rent, or repair. You need to think of GameZone Plus in Nokomis. GameZone Plus has computers, laptops, tablets, movies on Blu-ray and DVD, video games and accessories, TV and musical instruments. And remember, shop local. Shop GameZone Plus in Nokomis. Open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday.
Farming doesn't follow an 8 to 5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
BR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro has everything you need to have a great time. And it's not just for kids, it's for adults. Virtual sports include hunting, golf, car racing, spinning bikes, batting cages, air hockey, and pool. Call 556-8558 for tee times. Memberships and hourly rates are available. BR Virtual Sports, for the child in all of us. Located on School Street across from Vogel Lumber in Hillsboro. Like them on Facebook.
If your New Year's resolution is to lose weight, eat light and healthy with farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. For a quick lunch or snack, try farmer-owned Prairie Farms yogurt flavored with fruit or low-fat cottage cheese topped with fresh fruit. And don't forget that 100% pure farmer-owned Prairie Farms orange juice is good all day long. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
And at 9:25, Sports Saturday continues from the Cranny Mac Hunting Reserve in Hillsboro. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Thank you very much, Tobin. As we're broadcasting from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt at Cranny Mac, and this is to raise money for the scholarships for students from Hillsboro and the Hillsboro Education Foundation. We're talking with John Burton. John, this is Don's brother. Now, I'm Terry. I have brothers Larry and Gary and a sister Sherry. Now, when Mom stuck her head out the door and yelled, we couldn't tell who she was yelling for. Did your mom have that problem, too?
No, she didn't have that problem.
You had nicknames, didn't you?
We had nicknames.
Can you repeat them on the air? I couldn't repeat some of mine.
We couldn't repeat them on the air, and we knew if we weren't didn't get there, if we held up Dad's dinner, it wasn't going to be a pretty sight. So we was always within shouting distance. That's a fact.
My, how times have changed. Well, John, tell us a little bit about what this means to you in relationship to your brother, and then we'll get to the lies, okay?
Well, first of all, let me just say that when I'm on a public forum like the radio, it's just like a court of law. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So don't let any previous interviews with my brother throw you off track.
I have a feeling it's more like a session in Congress, but either way.
Well, then just call me a liar.
I'm not going that far. I'm not going that far. Your brother already did that.
So you know I'm lying when my lips move. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say it.
I'm a little confused. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's just not true. That's probably not right. But no, it really does mean a lot. I mean, you know, you look at D and you look at somebody that was taken, you know, way too young at 16. And then you look at all the kids that have benefited. And all the kids that he's helped, to, you know, even after his death, to get a college education. It means a lot to our family. My sister will be over here today. She'll be spending most of the day here. And you know, my dad was either here or a big contributor until he passed a couple years ago. And so, yeah, it means a lot to our family. And, you know, it means a lot to me to see so many people from the community reach out and volunteer. It speaks volumes for my brother and the impact he had on the community as well.
As I look at this thing, and we've been coming out here for several years, as I look at it, John, I look at it as someone having the ability to take a negative and turn it into a positive, and that's certainly what has happened here.
Absolutely.
A negative in losing a son and a positive in turning that around and getting the scholarships and helping some other youngsters, and it's just great. We could sit here and talk till noon tomorrow about it. It's just a fantastic thing.
Well, you could talk till noon tomorrow.
I'd probably run down by noon tomorrow, but then it is. And I think the only way to describe it is just to look at it as someone took a negative and turned
Absolutely.
It into a positive.
And, you know, so many things go into it. You know, Don Cranfield started it with the original idea, and, you know, Donnie's hung with it all these years, and, you know, he's got a daughter in Texas and a daughter in St. Louis, and You know, as time goes on, it may be more and more difficult, but I've not heard him say anything about not having it. So, you know,
John, as you look back to, you know, Donnie's passing, and of course it's a terrible, terrible thing. But how have you seen your brother respond as this event continues along?
Oh,
does it help with the healing process?
I think it helps with the healing process. I think that he's much deeper faith. I think a lot of things he's become stronger in a lot of areas. And, you know, we were talking about this the other day, and I told him, I said, don't take this the wrong way, but I said, Donnie, you and I have a much better relationship. You know, we've bonded a lot over this. It's just been the families really come together. You know, what can you really say? You know, you're right. It is taking a negative and turning it into a positive. I know for a number of years, and this does speak to the honesty that is coming up, by the way.
Okay.
But for 6.5 years, I pastored a small country church over in Indiana, and he came over on several occasions and spoke to us about, you know, what that loss meant to him and how he survived it and how it strengthened his faith. And I know he's done that in a number of forums, you know, throughout Central Illinois. And, you know, you just never know how many people are one encouraging a word away from turning a corner and making another positive out of a negative because they hear somebody speak positively about negative circumstances. And, you know, there's just so many people out there that need an encouraging word. And Donnie's done a lot of that over the last 10 years, 11 years.
You know, it seems like in our society, too, people get so worked up and agitated about things that just don't even really matter.
Right, right,
yeah. And the thing I like about it is the fact that you keep Donnie's memory alive.
Because,
you know, as Don mentioned, kids nowadays don't know who Donnie was.
Yeah.
Did not know Donnie, did not know any of his classmates or anything, but at least it keeps Donnie's memory alive. And, you know, and that's a testament to Don with his his long involvement in education.
Yeah, he'd have been out here, he'd have been telling his dad, don't cancel tomorrow, I'm on the shoot at 7:30. he'd have said, it don't matter what the weather is, I'll get the four-wheeler out and we'll be out there ready to shoot. So it really is fitting that this is the forum, one of the major forums that's used to honor him, because he just loved to shoot. And he liked a double-barrel shotgun, and most people don't do that, but D liked that. He had an old double barrel.
Well, what got him interested in that?
Well, actually, I think my dad gave him the gun.
Really?
And, of course, he and Donnie shot a lot anyway, and he considered that his gun, so that's what he used.
And this particular event is so unique because you hear about a lot of golf tournaments and dart tournaments and mouse races and stuff like that. But here you have a chance to raise some money and do something that's really not – in the norm as far as fundraising is concerned.
And the truth is, most of the groups out here really don't care how many quail they shoot. It's all about getting together and talking and having fun and telling stories and camaraderie. And you know, I'd be honest with you, I think you could go to a lot of forums around this country. You're not going to meet a better group of people than you'll sit out here and chat with over dinner between hunts. It's just fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Now the question of the hour. Who has the best shot in the Burton family?
Well, you know. You have to look at age as a factor. You know, Donnie's much older.
Eyesight's not quite as good.
Yeah, knees, problems. You know, honestly, I'm just glad when he can finish the hunt. Seriously. You know, it's a blessing when we just, you know, it's kind of sad to see your older, you know, brother riding in the gator. That's just kind of a sad thing.
And that probably could be considered a personal opinion.
Well, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Depends who you ask, Uncle Ralph.
Yeah.
I ask as honestly as I can. I stand behind it. And by the way, I checked. I know you guys don't have a fact checker out here today.
Oh, no.
You know,
we had to let them go.
You know, John, it's
wasn't cost effective.
It's interesting you brought up the subject about the double-barreled shotgun. When I was a kid, my dad gave me a 16-gauge double-barreled shotgun, and I never hunted with anything else. I thought that was the only weapon to hunt with. You know, you get used to them, and there's something about them. But
well, it's like a baseball glove. You know, just feels right in your hand or whatever the case may be.
Well, my dad bought a Remington 1100, And he bought Donnie a Richard and Harrington. I don't know if you even remember them. They were the inexpensive 20-gauge single shots. Nobody was collecting them. In fact, I've got one somebody could have if they'd use it. Because I've still got the one that Dad got. Dad got Donnie one when he was 12, and he got me one when he was 12. When Donnie turned 18, Dad bought him a Remington 1100. Well, I was about a year and a half later, I turned 16, so do the math. He's 4 years older than me. When I was 16, I told Dad, I said, I'm not waiting. And he said, well, you got the money? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, let's go up to Speakman Sporting Goods. And so I went up there when I was 16 and bought my own, and I've got it today, and I'm shooting with it today. Huh. I still use the same gun. That's just what our family used, and my brother still got my dad's gun.
Well, so you take care of a weapon like that, and it's a lifetime investment. You take care of them, and you can use them as long
absolutely.
As you're able to hunt, or as you said, as long as his eyesight holds out, you know. When you have to start pointing, they flew that way, well, it's probably time for him to...
Well, you know, my sister, bless her heart, when she introduces us, she always introduces me as the younger, better-looking Burton brother.
Well, of course, yes.
You know, and did I ever tell you guys about the time?
Obviously, her eyesight has not failed.
No, she doesn't even wear glasses. You know, 2020. And by the way... Well, I better not get into that. I got in trouble last year for talking about my sister. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going
to... Talking about your brother is one thing, but...
I'm going to let that go this year.
Yeah.
She is a wonderful person, and she'll be here today, and she makes all the dips, provides the chip, and it's all homemade stuff, and, I mean, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
So
we are broadcasting from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt at Cranny Mac in near Hillsboro. We're talking with John Burton, who is Don's brother, and okay, John, now it's a time for a story. Give us a story here, something that we can relate to. Okay?
Because Donnie forewarned everybody, I'm gonna actually speak the honesty to goodness truth.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Whoa.
And he will tell you if you interview him again, he'll tell you this is a true story. When he retired as the Hillsboro superintendent, I was the last speaker, and I stood up, and here's pretty much what I said. I said, now, my brother told me not to say anything about when he cut my sister's pigtail off. He told me not to say anything to you. There's about 300 people there. He said he told me not to say anything to you folks about the time he got into Dad's tackle box, took out his needle-nose fishing pliers, and pulled one of my sister's teeth.
Oh, my gosh.
You wonder why my sister, you know, introduces us that way. But here is an honest-to-goodness true story. And, because, of course, you know, when I grew up, I like to think of it as a simpler time. We left our doors unlocked. And in the summer, we didn't have air conditioning. So in the summer, you left your front door wide open, and the screen door wasn't even locked. Well, my dad, every night, swung on our front porch. And my brother and I shared a king-size bed, you know, up until we was, you know, 15, 16 years old. Well, he was about 10 and I was about 6. And Dad was out on the front porch swinging right outside our bedroom window. Of course, the window was up and the screen was open, and my brother was sitting there sawing logs, and I was sitting there, and I guess I was in a mischievous mood. As God is my witness, this is a true story. Have you heard this?
No. Well, yeah, I think I have. Go ahead.
But this is a true story. I reached down and slapped my leg really loud and said, Donnie, quit it. I'm trying to go to sleep. And I heard that porch swing stop outside that window. And I waited about 5 minutes until the swing started going again, and I reached down and slapped my leg pretty hard again. I said, Donnie, I'm trying to go to sleep. I heard that porch swing again. Well, the third time I hit my leg, that porch door opened. Dad would come in and drug Donnie over the top of me and out of that bed. Had his belt off. Now, this was back when this was considered discipline rather than probably today they might call it child abuse. I don't know. This was back when it was called discipline. And Donnie's going, what'd I do? Dad's going, you know what you did. he just leveled, get this laying into it. And anyway, that was probably one of the funny. And, you know, the sad thing is then, and I'm going to tell a story about myself because I can't tell a half-truth. Well, I could, but I won't. And so Dad, about halfway through this spanking, realized that, you know, Donnie looks like he was sleeping. You know, I mean, he was, whoa, I don't know what I'm doing. And so Dad shoves that screen door open and lets it shut and then sits outside our door. Well, I wasn't smart enough to let well enough alone. I waited about 5 minutes and slapped my leg, and about that time, Dad's hand hit the back of my shirt. And I'm telling you, I got it good. I got it worse than Donnie did. But it's like I always tell Donnie, I had to win that battle because I deserved what I got. He didn't even know what was going on.
Oh, my God.
You went to the well one too many times.
I tell you, we had a lot of fun growing up. It was a great time. I wouldn't have changed the world.
And you know, if a person doesn't have a brother within 4 years, I don't know if they can really appreciate. My brother's 2 years younger than me, and you can't really even put into words what's that like to grow up with a brother.
No. It's a special thing. You know, he was older than me enough. He graduated from college the same year I graduated high school, so there were some separations there. But, you know, as you get older, and as you know, we've lost both of my parents now, and you know, family takes on a whole new meaning. And you really strive hard. My wife and I went down to Abilene, Texas to visit him this summer for a week. And he and my two sons and I, four of us, went to Alaska this summer. And we really try to do things to help the family stay a close family unit. Because I'll tell you, you know, at the end of the day, you can count on family. You know, you really can.
And that's what this event's about a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because its roots are in
absolutely
family activities.
Yeah, I remember distinctly when the phone call came about Dee. I was living in Muncie, Indiana then, too, and my wife actually came up to work and met me. And when I looked up and saw her, it was very unusual for her to show up at work. You know, when I looked up and saw her, I thought my dad had passed away or had a heart attack. In a million years, I never thought it never dawned on me it was Dee. Well, you know, I just told my boss, I'll see you in a week, and home I went, and... And I work for great people over there. Put in a plug for Ball State University.
There you go.
Go Cardinals. They play in the, it's going to skip my mind, the GoDaddy Bowl Sunday night.
The GoDaddy.com Bowl.
GoDaddy.com Bowl Sunday night, Ball State University. Mm-hmm. So I'll put a plug in for them. But I work for great people at the time and still do. And they said, hey, just let us know what's going on. And off I went. But, boy, in a million years, I never thought she was up there to tell me that something had happened to Dee. That's still a shock, and it still brings a tear to my eyes when I think about those days and what it meant. It was the 4th of July, and geez, tough days.
Yeah, it was.
But what a great kid, and honestly, Sally and Donnie and the girls, what a great family. And you know, you're right. They've really managed to help a lot of people based on this tragedy. And, you know, I don't know if Donnie's ever said this, but everything that could possibly be donated was donated from Dee, you know. Everything I think you can't take the heart because the autopsy was inconclusive.
Right.
But every other organ was donated.
Passing life along. Absolutely.
You know, the bottom line is from day one, they've done everything possible to make a positive out of this negative. So
we're talking with John Burton from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt at Cranny Mac. John, stick around. We need to take care of a little business. When we come back, we want a few more stories from you.
We'll see what we can do.
Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
The new year is here, and now's the best time to visit Roger Jennings in Hillsboro. Chevrolet and Buick have the best lineups ever. Chevrolet has the most models with a 5-star vehicle safety rating, more than Ford, more than Toyota, and the Buick experience is everything you've heard and so much you don't expect from the legendary Buick Mart. The rebates on both Chevrolet and Buick are as high as ever, and finance rates as low as ever on almost every model car, truck, and SUV. The main reason to shop Roger Jennings in Hillsboro is the Jennings commitment to excellence. You have your own reasons for a new vehicle, dependability, style, performance, mileage, or you just want one. But never forget that where you buy can be just as important as what you buy. Stop by Roger Jennings in Hillsboro or go to RogerJenningsInc.com.
Auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement. Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you, just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own way. Grow your own way.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpohl, your country agent in Raymond.
And at 9:44, let's take a look at the weather forecast. It's brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. A winter storm warning is in effect from midnight tonight till 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. We'll have cloudy skies with a chance of snow today. We'll have highs in the upper 30s. Occasional snow possible for tonight mixed with sleet. Expect lows in the mid-teens. Heading into tomorrow, this is where it gets interesting, folks. We'll have cloudy and windy conditions with up to 10 inches of snow possible. Expect highs in the upper teens. Extended forecast Monday through Wednesday. Chance of flurries Monday. It will be colder. Expect highs of around 10 above. The lows will be about 10 below. At 9:45, we have a temperature reading of 30 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest.
If you have a sports-related injury, give Teamwork Rehab a call. Teamwork Rehab provides licensed, certified athletic training services for Hillsborough and Nokomis student-athletes, keeping them safe, healthy, and in the game. Teamwork Rehab has three convenient locations, Hillsborough, Litchfield, and Nokomis. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:45, Sports Saturday continues. Let's head back now to the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. Here once again is Tim Mize, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Yes, we're broadcasting from Cranny Mac. We do this about once a year and have a great time when we come out to Cranny Mac. And we want to thank Don Burton and Dennis McCamick and Mrs. Cranville, who's always so gracious to let us in and kind of invade the space here. We kind of plant ourselves in the corner and have a good time. We're talking with John Burton, who is Don's brother, and we've been swapping some stories. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, the hunt for tomorrow has been canceled due to the 6 to 12 inches of snow that's expected and the winter storm warning that's in effect. So the activities for tomorrow at Cranny Mac have been canceled. And if you have any questions, and I think most people have been contacted, but if somebody out there kind of slipped through the cracks, they can give Don a call and they can reschedule things. And I think they're going to allow them to come out here anytime here between now and springtime and do
now in mid-April. If they call Dennis and just mention the Donnie Burton hunt,
right?
He'll do the same deal that you'd get today if you came out and shot.
Okay, that's Dennis McCamick. So,
and John, I don't know if you can think off the top of your head, what is the coldest day that you've ever gone hunting? Can you? It's like sub-zero temperatures.
Well, when I was a kid, it wouldn't have mattered how cold it was.
Right. Right.
But about 3 years ago, we had some sleety weather here, and that was probably one of the colder days. It was down in about 10. It's the only, really, we've been blessed with good weather here. It's the only day, really, in the 11 years that we've been involved in this. I've missed 2 years because of snow in Indiana, and I couldn't make the trip. But as far as the day of the hunt, it was not bad weather.
Tim, I can answer that question for you. The coldest day I ever hunted quail was, we carried little jumper cables on to get them started so they'd fly.
That's pretty cold.
Yeah, that was pretty cold.
Were you successful?
No.
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 Well, when I was a kid, we had a simple philosophy. If you didn't see a dog frozen to a fire hydrant, it wasn't your goal to hunt. It's just that simple. You just kept heading out to the farm.
Yeah, yeah. Said, you guys go right ahead. I'm going to stay here in the barn. Well, once again, John, this is a great event, and it's too bad that Mother Nature slipped a curveball in there for tomorrow, but the hunt will still be a success, and it will move on to next year and so on, and bigger and better things will come along, and everything will work out. It always does.
Well, when we were talking to Don, John, we were talking about, really, it's amazing how much this has grown and really what is a short amount of time for an event like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's over 200 people this year for the first time. Now, of course, Sunday there was probably 80 that aren't going to be here now that we hope will reschedule at some point. But, you know, it's my understanding that we've never taken a step backwards. The first year there was 36, And you've probably heard the story about that. Donnie thought he meant a year from now, and Cranfield meant in 6 weeks.
No, yeah.
So they threw it together in a hurry and had 36, and it's grown every year. And when it got to be about 100, they went to 3 days, and now, you know, pretty much all 3 days are jammed. It's yeah. just, yeah, and, you know, you I don't know how, you know, if you've never been out here, you won't understand this, but, you know, when you get a colorful character like Cranfield, and he's a big part of why you hunt, because he was a character. He told the stories. We had the fun. Things have not missed a heartbeat since Dennis McCammon has taken over. I mean, it's just the same quality operation, the guiding, the dog work. If somebody would have asked me if that were possible, that someone could come in for Cranfield and keep this thing going, I'd have said, you're nuts. And I got to say, Dennis McCammon has done a top-notch job of making this operation run well.
Well, you know, John, we talked a while ago about taking a negative and making a positive out of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think enough can be said for Don Cranfield. He had a dream here with this hunting reserve, and he took that and parlayed it into what it is today. Yeah. And I don't think we can't sit here long enough and say enough about Mr. Cranfield and what he done. And I knew him personally and worked with him on some projects, and what a tremendous person he was.
I think he'd be proud of where this hunt's gone from its humble beginnings and from the job Dennis is doing out here. I think he'd be real proud.
What is it about Cranny Mac that separates itself maybe from different hunting preserves?
You know, I don't know. This has been most of my experience. Yeah. I've been to a couple others. But it's just the personalized service. I mean, you can do as much or as little as you want.
And people forget about the historical perspective of Don Cranfield, about how long he did this dog training. And it was something that he did that was known worldwide. It just wasn't here in Illinois or the United States. I mean, it was a worldwide phenomenon. He was known around the world for his dog training techniques. And to have something like this right here in the heart of Illinois is pretty unique and pretty special.
I was at an event talking about this after the first couple years. Well, actually, I hunted before Dee passed away a couple times out here. And I was talking about Don Cranfield or something, and what a colorful character he was. And somebody at the next table said, are you talking about Hillsboro, Illinois? And I was over in Indiana.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
And they knew who he was, and because, you know, people in the bird dog world, he was a big name in this country.
Yes, he was.
You know,
yes,
I mean, people knew who he was.
John, you could answer this better than I, obviously, but a lot of people I know that hunt seem to have really gotten into more quail hunting and other bird hunting than deer hunting. It seems like it's kind of supplanted deer hunting as the most popular form of hunt.
I think that probably depends on the person to some extent.
Right.
Deer hunting, I just don't have the patience for it. I don't want to sit quietly.
Well, I want to go on record and say the more deer you kill, the better off I am, because I won't have to hit them.
Yeah. No, that's
true. Well, my thing with deer hunting has always been this, though. I don't want to get up at sunrise, go sit completely still on the off chance that I might see a deer, and then I still have to hit the thing.
Yeah. And then I have to convince my wife to cook Bambi. In my household, that ain't going to work, and I simply don't want to shoot something I'm not going to eat.
Yeah.
Now, if she ever changes her mind, then I might try deer hunting.
She's not going to change your mind.
I've got a number of places I could go and take a deer every year over in Indiana, but it's just not on the.
So what is the Burton recipe for quail?
For quail? Oh, well, I take after Cranfield the first time he made it for me, because he used to put on quail fries as well, but I like to fry the quail and then make biscuits and gravy out of the leavings, just like you were making sausage biscuits and gravy. It just doesn't get any better than that.
That sounds delicious.
And that's the way my kids like to eat it. When I go back and cook it up, we fry it and then make biscuits and gravy out of the grease leavings and stuff, and have a baked potato with it sometimes. And
that sounds a bit all right.
Yeah. John, when it comes to after you leave this event, and it's a couple weeks down the line, do you kind of look back on what you've just been through and kind of think, well, you know, maybe we should try something different next year, or maybe this worked well and we're going to stick with it, that sort of thing? Do you have some input with your brother?
Well, he and I have talked several times, and my only suggestion is move it to a warm I mean, because I always get up and come out here at 5, get up at 5 and come out here with him to help get this place opened up and fill the pop cans and do whatever you can do. And it's cold. Yesterday we passed a bank. It said minus 2. Now, today it said 27, so I guess we're having a heat wave or something.
Don't look at it tomorrow.
But, you know, the flip side to that is you can, in a mild snow, you can hunt quail. Yeah. It's pretty miserable if it's a mild rain.
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, by keeping it in the winter, you do keep it to where you can hunt no matter what. Because, yeah, it wouldn't be much fun to be out there in the rain sloshing around. And, you know, a lot of people wear work boots and stuff. They don't really have... And you can get away with that in snow, but you get out there slush and mud, and pretty soon your feet are wet. And
another thing is, time of year, there are so many other things going on, other events, other fundraisers. Once you get beyond January, it seems like almost every weekend there's some sort of a fundraiser going on.
You're right.
And this is a good weekend for it.
You know, Jack Buck was a great speaker, and I heard him speak several times. And when you were talking about a while ago, quail and biscuits and gravy and all that. Whitey Herzog said him and Jack were over at Hardin, Illinois, duck hunting. And Jack shot a couple ducks, and Whitey said to him, he said, "Do you actually eat those things?" Jack said, "No." He said, Whitey said, "Well, what do you do with them?" He said, "I'll take them home," and he said, "I'll get me a jug of wine, and I'll put them in that," and he said, I'll cook them till they're done. And he said, "I'll throw them out to the dog, and I'll drink the gravy."
Well, that would be one recipe, I guess.
Yeah. I heard something about that, about carp laying them out on a board and doing this and that to them, and then throwing the carp away and eating a piece of wood. Similar story, different topic.
Wow.
But
Well, John, we appreciate you coming by. It's always a pleasure to talk
with you. I enjoy it. We appreciate what you guys do too, coming out here. It gives a lot of exposure, and it's a big reason why we keep growing.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we appreciate that, and Don's a good friend of ours, and you know, it was a terrible loss, but we're glad to see that. You know, this is the lemonade out of the lemon. Thanks for coming by, my friend, and we look forward to seeing you next year.
We'll see you next year. Thanks a lot, guys.
If you've got another family member after the break here at the top of the hour, send them this our direction.
I'll see if I can find my sister.
There you
now,
go.
Her versions might slightly differ
you
from
think?
What my brother and I have
well,
talked
about.
Well,
you know.
but, you know, she's a year older than me, too, and her memory might be on its way, too.
Oh, keep
that in mind if she disagrees with me.
That's a good excuse.
Smart to make that the last thing you said.
There you go. John Burton, thanks so much. And hey, while we've got a couple, 3 minutes here, let's just kind of go down a few of the basketball scores we had from around the area. Tim, you were at Nokomis last night. Great ball game between Nokomis and Litchfield last night, as Nokomis won that one. Their 1,400th win as a program. That's terrific.
That is a lot of wins since 1917 is when that goes back to. And they hung on last night. They had an 11-point lead over the Panthers about halfway through the fourth quarter. Momentum turned. Litchfield took advantage. Actually went on a 12-0 run, took the lead. And then the Skins made just enough free throws down the stretch to get the victory, but that was a lot of fun last night over at Nokomis.
And it could be potentially maybe the first matchup of two come Litchfield Invitational time.
That's true. 49-46 was the final last night. With that win, Nokomis now 12-3, Litchfield 7-3. I happened to be at Lincolnwood last night when we paid tribute to the state baseball champions from 2009 at halftime of the varsity game, and to Shane Convery, who was the golf medalist in the state golf tournament the fall of 2009. And the Lancers had their hands full with a very good team from South Fork, but they win it on a buzzer beater from who else? Tate Snyder.
He's pretty good at that.
And the Lancers win it 50-48. I think the game, Lancers were down by 4 at one time, and then there was a block charge call that the coach from South Fork disagreed with, and there was a couple of free throws made by Snyder, a 3-point basket, and all of a sudden the Lancers had the lead, and they were right back in the ball game at 39-38, and then it was back and forth from that point on, and they win at 50-48.
And we've seen that so many times from Lincolnwood. It seems every year in the Cronville Holiday Tournament, they will have one game where it looks like they are just done, and they will come back and get the win. I don't know what it is. The players change. The coaches can change.
But
it just seems Lincolnwood, they are never out of a ball game, no matter how bleak it might look late in the fourth quarter.
Well, that semifinal game against Litchfield, essentially. You know, it was, what, a 2-point game. Litchfield with the ball with, like, 20 seconds left. Couldn't make the free throws.
Yeah.
Talk about those wins at Nokomis. Kimbrough's got about half of them, hasn't he?
I think so. He's got a chunk of them. That's for darn
maybe
sure.
Maybe slightly more than half.
Out of the 1,400. We'll have to check the IHSA book, but I bet he's got more than half of them. So
I thought he had 700.
Yeah, I think he
maybe,
does.
Maybe he does.
Or getting close.
I can't count that high. I can't keep track of it.
Well, I know he's got 600.
Maybe that,
I did that game
has.
On the radio. So, also last night, Pawnee beat New Berlin 58-48. Greenfield Northwestern over Southwestern 58-43. And Williamsville beat Pleasant Plains 56-45. We are broadcasting from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt at Cranny Mac. We're going to be pausing here for some news from NBC in just about a half a minute. When we come back, we'll talk more sports and hopefully have a chat with some more family members from the Don Burton family as they raise money in the memory of Donnie Burton, raise money for the Hillsborough Educational Foundation to provide scholarships for students across the Hillsborough area. So we always have a great time when we come to Cranny Mac, and we're having a good time here this morning, and of course, they feed us very well. Which,
oh,
if
my
you're
goodness.
A radio guy,
oh.
That's one yeah. of the important things. So stick around. More Sports Saturday coming up as we go into extended time here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville. It's 10 o'clock.
Back to the Cranny Mac Hunting Reserve, Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Thank you very much, Tobin Ott, and we'll be wrapping up the sports show probably about 10:30, so you'll have a list of all those cancellations for us. And, of course, we want you to stay tuned to WSMI-FM for the latest information and keep checking the website. And we are broadcasting, as you mentioned, from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt, where funds are being raised for scholarships for students in memory of Donnie Burton, who passed away some 11, 12 years ago. And we certainly appreciate the invitation from the Burton family to be part of this every year. It's a lot of fun and good food, good friends, and a lot of tall stories from time to time. You know, in the second part of the sports show, one thing I did want to get into in particular, and the story we had this past week, and I thought of you, Uncle Ralph, the passing of Johnny Orr, who was a Taylorville native. He was a member of the Tornadoes basketball team that went 45-0 and won the state championship in 1944. Of course, had stops in college, coaching career, which was outstanding. And he was kind of in that was your era.
Yeah, I was a sophomore when those guys did that. And Orr and Bontemps, boy, what a pair of basketball players they were in that era, 1944. And what a record, 45-0. And keep in mind that in those days, you played everybody. There was no classes.
Right.
You played a school that was twice as big as you was. You played a school that was twice as small as you was. And I kind of got acquainted with Johnny past tense because, as you all well know, the Hillsborough girls play in the Taylorville tournament in the early fall. Kind of a kickoff tournament, and he was always there until the last couple of years when his health failed him, and always was willing to reminisce about that ball club. And Dolph Stanley was the coach, and they went on to play at Beloit, I believe it was.
Yeah, Beloit and Iowa State.
And then, of course, Johnny was, he coached Michigan, I believe, and then went to Iowa State, who was, at that time, was nothing, and made a college power, so to speak, out of Iowa State. But what a great athlete. And when you think back of winning 45 straight games, you know, and that took them all the way through the state tournament.
Well, you can't even play 45 games in a year anymore.
No,
you can't. And back then you could. But those guys were just so smooth just to watch them. And I sat around this morning trying to think of some of the other guys that were on that team. It was all you heard about was Orr and Bontemps. But
well, Ralph, I'm curious because I always – if you ever go up to the state basketball tournament, go into the experience, you know, they have a nice display of all the state champions and some of what they consider to be the greatest teams. And I think it's pretty much a unanimous consensus, as far as I can tell, that the greatest team in the history of Illinois is those Dalton Thornridge teams with Quinn Buckner. Are you of the belief maybe that Taylorville squad is the best basketball team the state of Illinois has ever seen?
Well, Tim, I would have to lean towards them because that was the era that I grew up in. But, you know, people later on, you can talk about other ball clubs and stuff that came along and what they did. But 45-0 and...
kind of speaks for itself.
Kind of speaks for itself. And that's, again, I reiterate, you played everybody. If a school had 1,000 kids in, you played. If it had 100 kids in, you played them. And if I had to vote, I'd vote for that Taylorville team as the best high school team in the state of Illinois.
And it's a sports a lot of times. If you go undefeated, you get recognized as the best. I don't think anybody thinks the 1972 Miami Dolphins were the best, you know, the most talented team ever in the history of the NFL, but they're regarded as the best team ever because they went undefeated. The 85 Bears probably would have smoked them, but they weren't undefeated.
Yeah.
Well, and in the era we live in now, basketball has changed. I mean, the game has changed. It's speeded up, and you know, it's just not the same game that was played back in 1944. I mean, the basic rules are still there, and the basket's still 10 feet tall, but the athletes themselves and the style of play is different.
One thing I always point out when somebody talks about the Taylorville team, I said, you want to remember one thing. You look at basketball players today, high school, you got kids 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", even got a few of the 7-footers.
Not around here,
but you know, you get in areas they do have.
Yeah.
But these guys were average size people. I mean, they weren't giants by any means, you know. So I just think what they did is just almost like a dream. It's almost unbelievable. Certainly. Night after night, they went out. And back in those days, if you had access to look up on a computer or something, you look up sometime, and I think you'd be surprised at the scores, because 50 points was a lot of points back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, hey, we did some research during the break. Steve Kimbrough now has 689 career victories with that W last night, so 11 away from 700.
Yeah.
Dave, but can you share your headset there?
Absolutely.
Okay, there you go. And is that too loud?
No, it's just fine, thanks.
And you are?
I'm Sarah
Burton
Partney. You're Sarah.
Okay. Yeah. Sarah, how are you, kiddo?
I'm doing great.
You're Don's daughter.
I am.
And we're glad to have you here, and we're glad
to
be here, and it's good to see you again. And you just basically walked through the door, so we're going to let you catch your breath here for just a second.
I did.
But what's really neat, hello there, young man. Hey, tell us a little bit about this event that is now in its 11th year, and what it means to the family from your standpoint?
Well, I mean, I think it means a great deal to the family. Part of it is just a remembrance thing. You know, every year we come out and it's something in Donnie's name. It's kind of difficult, I think. Everybody's life moves on.
Sure.
You know, all his friends are married and, you know, all of that. And it's just kind of neat for there to be sort of a designated time whenever we remember. And this is really fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you get to renew friendships with people you've made because of this event.
That's exactly right. There are so many people that we see exactly once a year, and we plan to see them at this.
Well,
it's great.
And every year there's a few new ones you see that you've never seen before.
That's definitely true. I actually brought my son to this. I had a baby this year, so I've got a baby over there in Carhartts and diapers. And this will be his first year, even though it's the 11th year of the hunt, so that's kind of neat.
Are they making camo diapers yet?
Yeah. I think they've been making them for a while. They're actually Carhartts. They're a size 6-month Carhartts.
That's
the
awesome.
Real thing, yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, in case he wants to go out there and hunt with you guys.
Well, we always hear stories about kids being around basketball coaches and being gym rats. Well, he's going to be a shooting, hunting preserve rat. So.
I'm afraid so, yes.
nothing wrong with that, kiddo. Nothing wrong with that. So what are you doing these days, Sarah? Where are you? And
I'm an attorney. I practice in the St. Louis area, actually a little bit south of St. Louis.
Okay.
And that's where we live. And, well, I had a kid, so that's pretty much what I've done this year. You know,
that's kind of dominating your
it
life
takes
right
up
now.
Some time.
Sure.
And I'm sure that tonight, and tomorrow you're going to share some of the snow with us in this area.
It's my understanding everyone's going to have their fair share of snow. We're not going to need to worry about it.
Yeah, there'll be plenty to go around if you want to make snow ice cream, put it
there
that way. So. Well, Sarah, we appreciate you just popping in and saying hi to us. It's always good to see you. Is your mom here as well?
She is. She actually walked in right behind me. Okay. And, yeah, I'm going to go make sure that someone's caring for my infant.
Yeah, so that's
like, I just left
him.
I assumed he'd be
fine.
Well,
that's what grandparents are for, you know.
There's Grandpa standing right there, probably telling somebody a lie.
I know, but I noticed he's not holding a baby, which causes me to wonder.
No.
Well, there's a baby over there in Carhartt.
All right. That one's probably mine.
Somebody's caring for them. Sarah, thanks for coming
by. Nice talking to you.
Nice to talk to you. We're broadcasting from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt at Cranny Mac, and that was Donnie's sister, Sarah, and we're glad that she popped in, and maybe we'll get Sally, Donnie's mom, to pop in and say hi to us as we broadcast from Cranny Mac here this morning. So
got Fighting Illini basketball coming up today at 12:30, Big Ten play, the Illini hosting Penn State, and I believe they're honoring the Flying Illini today.
Yes. One thing I want to mention and about the Flying Illini, and of course, Lou Henson. Okay, Lou Henson was the coach of the Fighting Illini. When I got into radio, and my first interview I ever did at a college basketball game was that I was broadcasting, I got to interview Lou Henson. He was the first big-name guy I ever got to interview, and he was such a gentleman. He knew I was new at it. He actually took me, you know, and pulled me aside and says, "Now, look, this is going to be pretty easy. All you got to do is ask me a question, and I'll talk." And he was just a gentleman. So I, you know, he will not remember me, but I certainly remember Lou Henson because he was the first guy I ever interviewed as a radio broadcaster. So
I got to interview Kenny Battle a few years ago.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Kenny was a great interview.
Yeah, very good.
Great interview.
But the exact same deal, though, down-to-earth type of guy.
Yeah, and Lou was, he was looking at a player at Lakeland College at that time named Reno Gray, who was from Hales Franciscan. So we had a point of reference where we could start the conversation, but Lou was just absolutely great, great guy. Sally, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Pull that microphone up just a little bit closer there, kiddo. Up toward your mouth there. There you go.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Now we can hear you. Thanks for letting us be part of this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Seriously, it's so nice of you to battle out here in this cold weather, which, you know, surprises me that anybody in their right mind would get out.
Well, we've never claimed to be in our right mind.
Yeah, right
well,
mind.
Well, yeah,
is the key
you know,
there.
Honestly, had I thought that through a little better.
But that's guilt by association with the people we hang around with.
You had some discussion about this event for tomorrow, which, again, if you're just tuning in, tomorrow's shoot has been canceled.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty big decision. You had to take in a lot of factors.
Yeah, but, you know, with the weather being so bad and the roads, you know, you hate to be worrying about people, you know, every step of the way. So
tell us a little bit about what this means to you every year.
Oh, gosh. I think for me, it's more in supporting Don, because this was something that him and Donald really liked to do. And it just amazes me that people come out and so many people repeat, you know, come out. And it kind of, you know, it's good and bad. It pulls up memories of Donald, you know, and you certainly don't want to leave those. You know, you want to revisit them. But anyway, it's a special time. A special time. Donald's birthday was in January. And, you know, we just got through with the holidays. So. But we just really appreciate what everybody else does. I mean, Joyce Connor every year helps me cook all these pies. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of a – but and we appreciate you guys coming out here, too.
Well, we're tickled to be part of it. Sally, one of the things that's difficult, you know, when you lose a child, but you have the ability now to share that with other families. And it's not easy to do. But it's something that's necessary a lot of times in other people's lives.
Yeah. And I think just if they can find some way. I mean, life does go on. Mm-hmm. Life goes on. And I think when it first happens, in fact, probably the first 2 years, you're just kind of in a fog. Like you still, it takes a long time for it to, you know, settle in. But life does go on. And for us, you know, it's the grandkids.
Grandkids, yes. Well, you're too young to be a grandmother, but him, I don't know about being a grandpa.
Yeah. These are grandchildren from Don's first wife. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my. Sally, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it. Well, it's always good to see you.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Yes,
thank you. I'll give a hand.
Sally Burton, there you go. We'll give it back to Dave over there as we broadcast from the Donnie Burt Memorial Hunt here at Cranny Mac. And again, we appreciate all the hospitality, and we certainly enjoy coming out. And, you know, this room is full of people just talking. They've donated their time and their money and their effort, and it's going to a great cause. So you take something that was tragic and turn it into something that's positive, and that's exactly what they've done. So.
And, you know, you look at this thing, Terry, and year after year, more successful, more hunters.
Yeah.
And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And I don't think we can sit here long enough and talk about Mr. Cranfield, his dream in starting this thing. And then when his time on Earth was done, someone else, Dennis McCammon, took it over. And it's continued to grow, and that's great. You know, it could very well have died on the vine, and this thing went down with it. But people said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep it going, and they have, and kudos to all of them. Yeah.
Let's return to the conversation about the Fighting Illini. Big game with Penn State. They got a big win over Indiana earlier.
Huge win last Saturday in overtime.
Yeah.
Those are the types of games in the Big Ten. First game of the year at home against your rivals. If you find a way to lose that game at home, all of a sudden the snowball might get rolling downhill. I don't think it would have. John Gross seems like the type of guy. He's able to stop losing streaks in their tracks, I think. But that was a huge, probably a character-building type of win for the young Illini.
Well, but the thing about his team, he's got a lot of youth on it, though. And you're right, Tim. That could have been a snowball type effect. But they came away with the win, which was huge, especially since there were no students around.
Right. But they had more students there than I thought.
Yeah, there were more there, but classes not being in. Yeah, they had a good crowd.
And you had some stepping stones, of course. A few of the young freshmen, rather. Jalen Tate, who's been kind of that primary backup point guard for the team. His first Big Ten action. He may have had a little bit of jitters, as we heard. He struggled a little bit. But then Kendrick Nunn, he's been getting more and more playing time, and he had a big game, getting, I think, 7 points off the bench.
He did. And that's the thing with Nunn and Tate. They played in so many big games at Simeon in high school. And, you know, you're thinking, it's high school basketball. But these guys were like a traveling select team. I mean, they were playing the best teams in the nation all over the country. I mean, they were playing against California, Texas, West Virginia, Florida. They were all over. So these freshmen, Nunn and Tate, they're used to big-time atmospheres, big-time arenas, and that's only going to serve them as they move forward in their careers.
And that just tells you that John Gross has got a pipeline to the Windy City, doesn't he?
And he's already got another young man from Simeon locked up who will be coming shortly.
Yeah. So,
and that's something that the Illini have failed, in my opinion, failed dismally in the last few years. They have not recruited out of that area and got the good players to come to Illinois.
They haven't consistently gotten good Chicago players since Lou Henson was there.
Right.
Bruce Weber never got them.
No.
Lon Kruger didn't really get them.
No.
John Gross is showing he's going to get them.
Well, he knows where the basketball pipeline is now. It used to be Peoria. Not anymore.
Yeah, the Peoria pipeline is shut off, the Chicago pipeline is open. And I still maintain, if John Gross would have been around a year prior, I think he would have got Jabari Parker.
I think
he would have got all three of those guys. Yeah. It would have been like the Manuel class where all three of them showed up. He would have got Jabari Parker. But by the time Gross was hired, Jabari Parker was too far down the line with Duke and Michigan State to where the Illini didn't have a chance. But he would have got him.
Yeah. And it's going to be something for those younger players to be able to witness those flying Illini and meet them in person, hear stories about what it was like. Because that team is regarded as arguably the best Illini basketball team of all time.
I think it was. You could certainly make an argument, and I'd certainly be on that side.
The only other team that you could possibly make a case for was the 05 Illini with Darren Williams and D. Brown, but that flying Illini team, I mean, they had four NBA players on that team.
Yeah, they could do so many things, and they didn't have a weak spot. They just really didn't. And I mean, even coming off the bench, they had strength. So that's one of the great basketball teams, when you look at history of Illinois basketball, whether it be college or high school, that's one of the teams that you're going, gosh, those guys were really, really good.
And that's a team that has stood the test of time nationally.
Right.
I mean, you'll hear college basketball analysts talk about the Flying Illini.
Right.
All these years later, still, the Flying Illini are a known commodity around the country.
Yeah.
And in today's competition in college basketball, Division One, you know, with the Dukes and the North Carolinas and all those, if you're going to compete with them, you have got to get the top recruits into your program and build your program, because those teams are good year after year. They don't have to recruit anymore.
The recruits themselves.
Guys come knock on their door wanting to play. So you have to build that reputation.
And the thing about Gross is, in a lot of these programs, Ralph and you guys, you know, they'll play a year and move on to the NBA. I think with the Illini, they're going to stay put. I think a lot of these guys will at least stay put for a couple of 3 years before moving on. So maybe Gross will have a chance to build a legacy for the Illini basketball program that we haven't seen for a while.
Well, some of these younger guys, I mean, that they're recruiting the incoming freshmen, they're not being handed starting positions
right.
with the Illini. I mean, they're maybe being getting a piece of humble pie and
right.
sitting off the coming off the bench to start their college career, and you know, basically making themselves earn their way mm-hmm. into the rotation.
But as that guy on WSMI says on Saturday morning, boys, it's awful hard to fight that M-O-N-E-Y.
You're right. It really is. It really is. But the Illini, 12:30 this afternoon against Penn State.
And the Illini, to me, they are flying under the radar since they've only lost two games.
Yeah.
They could have won both of those ball games. You got a quality win now over Indiana in the Big Ten. Important game today. This is a Penn State team, historically over the last few years, Penn State's given them trouble.
Right.
They can really make the game ugly. I think it was one of Bruce Weber's last years. I think the final score, both teams were in the 30s. So it was like the lowest scoring game in the history of the shot clock era. So Penn State has an ability to really They can muck it up.
Yeah.
But this is a game. The Illini are more talented than Penn State. You're on your home floor. Go out. Take care of business. This is a game that I think it shouldn't be close. This
right.
should be a 10 to 13 point win for the Illini. Should be. But that's why they play the game.
That's right. And the Illini, you know, I think if they can pick up a win here, could certainly build a little momentum getting deeper into the Big Ten conference season, because you've got the big baddies waiting you down the line here, not very, very far away.
And one thing that has surprised me with the Illini this year, they're a much better rebounding team than I thought they would be.
Well, they're a much better rebounding team in the last 3 weeks than they were at the beginning of the season because they were not very good to start the season.
And you hope going into this game that they maybe aren't looking over their shoulder, because I believe they play Wisconsin right after Penn State, and that's I think it's in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you're right.
So, and that's always a tough – historically, the Illini have played well in Wisconsin, one of the few teams to do so, but it's still a tough place to play.
Right.
And I don't think John Gross is the type of guy. He's a fairly intense fellow. I don't think he will allow his young Illini to look past Penn State, especially on their home floor.
Right.
And, you know, he's going to play the Flying Illini card. Boys, this is the best team this university has ever seen. Go out and make them proud.
That's right. You don't want to embarrass yourselves these guys are in the stands.
And I would imagine some of those guys, whether it be Kenny Battle or Marcus Liberty, they'll be in the locker room delivering some sort of message. They've probably been on campus all week, probably in practice.
Sure.
And when you go into Wisconsin and play Wisconsin, you look at your roster and their roster, and you say, who are those guys? I don't see any big names there.
Doesn't matter.
Well, Bo doesn't get any big names.
They need big names.
He gets guys to play defense.
Oh. You talk about the ability to muck a game up.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Wisconsin can do that.
They have won.
Bo Ryan is probably the most underrated coach in the country. I mean, this dude, I think he's one of those guys. He'll beat you with his guys.
Yeah.
Then he'll take your guys and beat his guys.
Right.
He just is that type of coach. And I say again, he looks like the Badger.
It's a perfect fit.
Especially when he's agitated. Oh,
well,
my goodness.
Well, wait a minute. He's always agitated.
Well, that's a fair point.
So I don't think I ever see the guy smile, have you?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think he can smile.
Oh, my gosh.
He just comes out and beats you.
That's exactly right.
That's true. So Penn State this afternoon, 12:30. We'll have the Coach Gross Show Monday evening at 7 o'clock. Boys High School basketball Tuesday evening, Bunker Hill at Carlinville, and then Illinois-Wisconsin Wednesday night.
And then on the back end of the week, Terry, girls doubleheader Thursday, boys doubleheader Friday. About as good as you can hope for doubleheaders for girls.
We're going to have a couple of terrific matchups on Thursday night, January 9th. Litchfield at Greenville.
Hello.
Gillespie at Hillsboro, girls basketball doubleheader. And then Friday night, It's rivalry night, Montgomery County night, Hillsborough, Litchfield, Lincolnwood, and Nokomis. And, of course, you can find all that information on our website, along with cancellations at WSMIRadio.com. So, guys, we're out of time.
That went fast.
That went fast this morning. We want to thank Don Burton and his family and the folks here at Cranny Mac, Dennis McCamick. And they are always such great hosts. We certainly appreciate being part of the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt and the fact that they raise money for scholarships. So, guys, let's wrap this puppy up and try to avoid the snowfall here. Uncle Ralph, thank you, sir. I'll see you next time around.
Pleasure.
For Uncle Ralph, Dave Jenkins, Tim Mize, I'm Terry Tote. That's going to do it for Sports Saturday here from the Donnie Burton Memorial Hunt at Cranny Mac. And now Tobin Ott has a list of cancellations for us on WSMI-FM 106.1.